We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning to you. It's Friday, and it's Good Friday. It's also a Good Friday. Is the other any other kind? Is there any other kind besides a Good Friday? I hope that you are ready for the weekend, whether it's because of all the sports that we have as a smorgasbord, or whether it's the smorgasbord of food that you will have at your Easter family gathering. I know that my husband's side of the family has got, oh gosh, she said it's small. It's only about 8 to 10 people. It'll just be the two of us at our house, but it's because Sunday is also a work day in addition to being Easter Sunday. Whatever your plans, I know a lot of people are on the move. I hope that you enjoy time with family and friends and fellowship, and certainly mix in a little bit of opening weekend stateside for Major League Baseball, as well as hoops, baby. We'll be down to the Final Four by Monday in both men's and women's basketball. And if the start of the Sweet 16 was any indication, well, you better buckle up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. I know we started with the top seed UConn and all of their sexy offensive rebounds going back a couple hours ago. And that's huge, because the Huskies are playing in Boston. I know our New England audience is waking up and wants to hear more about the Huskies. But if you were not awake to see the second number one seed in action, well, you missed a doozy. North Carolina had an 8-point lead at half against Alabama because the Tar Heels hit 10 threes in the first half. And these were coming from unlikely sources. It wasn't their top three-point shooter in R.J. Davis and some of their other star power in the backcourt. Now, it's actually a couple of guys that maybe you wouldn't have expected. But that bodes well, right? When you're the Tar Heels and you hit 10 triples and it's not even R.J., well, then you're in good shape. And for the most part, felt like they had a handle on this game that was a track meet between two of the top offenses in the country. Except North Carolina goes cold from beyond the arc, and R.J. Davis really struggles, and a couple of questionable decisions, both by the coaching staff as well as by the players down the stretch, and Alabama was up for the challenge.
Davis slowly over the timeline, dribbling in the center circle, guarded loosely by Griffin. Gets a screen, dribbles right, double team. Straight away Withers, he'll fire a three, no good. Back rim rebound, Griffin, tied, have it with under a minute left, they're down one. Sears trying to turn the corner, terrific defense from Ryan. Jump pass into Nelson, the fake, lays it up and in, it's good. Bama retakes the lead, it's on Withers and Nelson to the free throw line with a chance to extend to a 2-point lead with 38.6 remaining. Left wing Davis, attacking, backs away, resets, veers right, turns the corner, down the lane, sealed off, fades away, the flick, missed it, fought for, and it's a shot clock violation. Suffocating defense by Nelson. Alabama's going to get it back with 7.7 left and the Tide holding a two-point lead.
That's the call with Spiro Dedis on the NCAA Westwood One radio network. Yeah, this was pretty incredible for Alabama. It was as though the seconds ticked off and UNC, the top seed in this West region, got a little tight and, again, made some poor decisions down the stretch with the game hanging in the balance. Meanwhile, you get the defense of Grant Nelson, the senior forward, who has five blocks in this one, including that moment where R.C. Davis drives the lane and he's able to swat away that layup attempt. And then a shot clock violation with about 7 seconds to go. And once again, it's Davis. He's in the lane, dribbling a little bit too much, pops back out, and Nelson is right there shadowing him. And the Alabama defense, as much as that's not been a calling card for the Crimson Tide, really clamped down in those final seconds.
0.9 on the clock in a two-point Alabama lead. Free throw, no good. Rebound, Ingram. His shot blocked by Nelson, fittingly, and it is over here in Los Angeles. Alabama has knocked off the one seed, North Carolina, and the Crimson Tide for only the second time in their program history and first in 20 years are dancing to the Elite Eight.
That was great. I mean, Grant stepped up. We were able to guard Baycott a little better one-on-one. You know, Charles Barkley called us frail. I don't think he was frail tonight. He showed up tonight. But, yeah, they stepped up big in the second half.
Charles Barkley, they do love it when he has to eat his words. That's Alabama head coach Nate Oates. And he had Grant Nelson standing right next to him on court with Allie LaForce after the win on CBS. So congratulations to the Crimson Tide. First trip to the Elite Eight in 20 years. And it comes with an upset over the top seed in the West region, UNC. Yeah, pretty amazing because the Grant Nelson piece of this, I don't think it came out of nowhere, but if you watched his first two games in this tournament, and he'd spoken about this too, he played a total 32 minutes in the first two games because he was a liability. He played more minutes last night than he did in the first two games of the tourney combined, and he only had 6 total points in those first two games. However, finished last night with a season-high 24, a dozen rebounds, the block shots, which were huge, especially down the stretch. 5 of those had an assist and a steal, and we had a chance to catch up with him. Following their post-game locker room celebration, you'll hear that in minutes here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. As for North Carolina, really tough because they've got a handful of seniors. It's a starting lineup that's 4 upperclassmen, and that does include Armando Baycott, who's been a star for them all year.
I'm definitely hurt, and I mean, I think we all are a little shocked. I mean, we don't underestimate any opponent, and I think today, I mean, it was tough, but all year we play hard, and today we play hard, and they just made more shots than us, and I mean, it's tough. Losing is not the result we want, especially with just how talented we are as a team, and we felt like we had a chance to win the national championship this year, but I mean, I wouldn't change anything that happened all year. It was a special year just with teammates, coaches.
Well, speaking of coaches, Hubert Davis, who of course played himself at North Carolina in its heyday, he was interviewed on CBS after the game. And at this point, it's hard, right, to control your emotions or to really find some closure in the season because it's in the immediate aftermath. But he recognizes this team as special.
Been around a lot of teams as a player and as a coach, and I've never had as much fun as being around this year's group. I told them that I needed them this year. They restored my faith that you could get a group of guys together that genuinely enjoy wanting to be a team and wanting to be together. And it was a blessing and a joy to be around them for the last year. And I'm just very sorry that we came up short.
So that's Hubert Davis on CBS. Now, would you like to hear an example of what he's talking about? I heard this on TV after the game and immediately wanted to grab it so that you all could hear it too. This moment really struck me. So it was Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, and then another senior guard, Cormac Ryan, who were sitting at the post-game press conference along with Coach Davis. And RJ had a really tough night. Not the way he wants to go out. I'm sure it's gonna eat him up for quite a while. He goes 4 of 20 from the field. He missed a lot of shots. And he missed every single one of his 9 3-point attempts. So he was distraught. And he's sitting there answering questions as the media is asking. And they weren't being rude, but they were just asking about his poor shooting night. And he's talking about his performance minutes after they get eliminated from the tournament. And he also gets understandably emotional. But next to him, one of his fellow seniors jumps in.
Wasn't good enough today. Missed a lot of easy shots that I normally make, and
I gotta chime in here. Just, you guys can write whatever you want, you know, about tonight's game. You could talk about RJ, you could talk about the stats, you could talk about whatever, but we would not be in this position today without RJ Davis and Armando Bacot. Carolina wouldn't be in this position today without these two guys. And so, say what you want. There's just not a true fiber in your being that could actually believe that anything that happened tonight could be the result of something RJ did wrong. Because RJ's done something incredible for this team. He's done stuff that's never been done before. He's one of the greatest Tar Heels of all time. And for anybody to come and say anything negative about RJ is unacceptable. And I'm going to just say that.
I nearly teared up watching this on TV, Cormac Ryan. And he's sitting next to RJ. RJ keeps his head down. He's obviously crying. And Ryan just takes over. Calls him one of the greatest Tar Heels of all time. But mostly, I just love the fact that this fellow senior, who's 25 years old, you got guys who are seniors who are older because of the COVID year, the COVID exemption. He jumps in and he defends his teammate. And not just defends him by getting blustery, spewing a bunch of words. No, defends him by reminding everyone that we wouldn't even be here if it's not for RJ. We did not lose because of RJ. Man, I just thought it was a really special moment and an incredible display of not just leadership, but caring for his teammate that was sitting there hurting. So I wanted to make sure you guys heard that. So Hubert Davis is right when he talks about this special group for UNC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So again, Alabama, you'll hear from Grant Nelson coming up following the break. First trip to the Elite Eight since 2004. The Tide have never been to the Final Four. But you know what? Their opponent in the Elite Eight has also never been to a Final Four.
PJ Hall out front, dribbles left wing, picks up the dribble, guarded by Balo. Bounces low left to Shefflin. He backs down Johnson, steps middle, the fake, the baby hook, back rim, front rim, and in. He's got 14, 5-point Tigers lead. 15 seconds, 75-72 Clemson. It's back to a one-possession game. Here's a breakdown, a pass ahead to Dylan Hunter. He lays it up and in, and he's fouled. Dylan Hunter sneaking behind the full court pressing defense. Clemson 77, Arizona 72 with 9.8 left. 7 seconds. They can't stop it. Bradley up, left wing three, short, rebound Hunter, and it is over. For only the second time in their program history, the Clemson Tigers are headed to the Elite Eight.
I said earlier to our team before the game, and we've played in what I was saying to them, I mean, more intense and harder environments than that against, you know, tougher road games, one at Chapel Hill, one at Alabama, one at a ice hockey rink in Canada versus TCU. I mean, we've played in some tough places. And so coming into this game, knowing they were going to have a good amount of fans here, we were calm. And, you know, that speaks to our veterans, too, a lot of older guys in the group. And so staying calm and with being able to stand runs.
Clemson into its first Elite Eight since 1980. So they've got the Tide beat in that category. First time in 44 years for the Tigers. And as PJ Hall, who had 17 points, 8 rebounds, as he points out, when these teams from conferences like the ACC or the SEC or even the Big East, though it got just the 3 teams in the Big Ten, when they get into these tournaments, they are so battle-tested because they've had to run the gamut in conference play. But also, he reminds people, we matched up against very strong opponents in our non-conference, and so this does not catch us off guard. We're not unprepared for these moments, even though Clemson is a 6 seed. And so now, in this West Regional Final between Clemson and Alabama, you've got 2 teams who've never been to a Final Four in their men's basketball history. So, we get a first-timer. I love that. That's what March Madness and college basketball this time of the year is all about. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page coming up, we'll hit that East Regional. I tell you, offensive rebounds are sexy. But straight ahead, he had the game of the tournament so far. Grant Nelson for his Alabama Crimson Tide, a season-high 24 with 19 of those coming in the second. He really is the driving force and the spark for the Tide as they rally past UNC. And he's got a stash, a mustache that I think might spark a new style revolution or something. It's after out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
With Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sears trying to turn the corner. Terrific defense from Ryan. Jump pass into Nelson. The fake lays it up and in. It's good. Bama retakes the lead. It's on Withers and Nelson to the free throw line with a chance to extend to a 2-point lead with 38.6 remaining.
Davis, Ingram, Bacot, and Wojcik. And here we go. The inbound to Davis, dribbles in the left front court. Now veers right. Dribbles back to the left, gets a Bacot screen. Euro step, and he's swatted inside by Nelson. 10 seconds to shoot. Left wing Davis attacking. Backs away, resets. Veers right. Turns a corner. Down the lane, sealed off. Fades away. The flick. Missed it. Fought for. And it's a shot clock violation. Suffocating defense by Nelson. Alabama's going to get it back with 7.7 left. And the Tide holding a 2-point lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spiro Dedis on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. It was a highlight reel for one Grant Nelson, a senior forward for Alabama. As I mentioned, he really struggled in the first 2 games of this tournament. Even as the Tide made it to the Sweet 16, he played a total 32 minutes in their first and second round games, so more than that last night, and had only 6 points in the 2 games combined. And so it was a breakout game for him, and also one that powered the Tide to the Elite Eight for the first time in 2 decades. So not only does he have 19 points in the second half, huge block on RJ Davis with about 20-something seconds to go, and then another great defensive stand in which he's the one who's kind of preventing Davis from finding any room in the final seconds of their big upset over UNC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, right after their crazy locker room celebration, which is out there on social. I had a chance to talk to Grant for a couple of minutes, and I started out by asking him about that celebration and that moment and getting to realize that they are one step away from the Final Four.
Man, it was great. I love this group of guys. So, I mean, just being able to go out there and have a great night with them and ultimately get the win.
I heard an interview with one of your teammates on Westwood One, and he talked about your camaraderie as a crew and how close you are as a family, and even about encouraging one another when things aren't quite going your way. And I know you've talked about starting the tournament a little slower than you liked. How much did your teammates pick you up?
I owe all the credit to them, really. I obviously didn't start this tournament how I thought I would, but my teammates picked me up. They helped me out, and, I mean, they just gave me confidence to really go out there and do that. And, I mean, they've been doing that for the whole season, so, I mean, I couldn't have done it without them.
So then how does it feel to come out and have a game like this, offense, defense, so both ends of the court late, and just know that you were able to kind of do your part in this run?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, it's what we've worked for this whole season. So, I mean, it just shows the hard work is paying off. And, I mean, it's great. This is a great group of guys, so I'm glad I could do it with them.
Love seeing the excitement on both ends. This game was a track meet, so you guys worn out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm definitely going to have to take a couple hours off, get some good sleep tonight, and try to get my legs back underneath me.
Which one felt better? Which one gave you more adrenaline? The block and the defense on RJ Davis on one end, or that and one with about 40 seconds to go?
It's a tough one. I think the and one, just because the bench was right there. They're all flexing, and I mean, it was right in front of me. So I mean, that one gave me a little more energy.
Grant Nelson of Alabama is with us here After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. You guys are one step from the first Final Four in school history. Is that tough to even process?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's something I've been wanting to do my whole life. So, I mean, to finally be here and be part of a great team like this one is, it's surreal.
Why Alabama for you, Grant? Why was it the right place?
Coach Oates to hit it off, great guy. Coach Panome, I think I really bonded with those two right away. And then, I mean, ultimately, I think they run the best offense in college. So, I mean, just like them giving me confidence, telling me like how I fit in their system, telling me my player development individually. And I mean, I think it all just fit together and it felt like the right place for me and my family.
So I guess people can't come up to you and say anything about Alabama being a football school anymore, huh?
Oh, no. It's both now.
You talk about your offense and how much you guys are able to click, one of the top offenses in the country. But against North Carolina, this was nonstop. So what about your defense in this game?
I give a lot of credit to UNC. I mean, we tried to follow scouting report the whole game, but they had some guys, Cadeau, who hit some big shots in the first half. I think him and number 7, they hit like 4 threes. And ultimately, our game plan was to kind of let them, not really let them shoot open threes, but like that was our game plan to have those guys shoot threes, just knowing their percentages and stuff. But, I mean, I give them a lot of credit for knocking down shots. And, I mean, we kind of stayed true to our game plan, and it figured itself out in the second half.
Not just on defense, but on offense, this was an all-hands-on-deck effort. You guys really needed, like, every last body and every last minute to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, the guys coming off the bench giving really meaningful minutes, I think that was huge. I mean, Nick Pringle battling through a little bit of foot pain or something, I don't know what really happened. A lot of credit to him, a lot of credit to Rilo coming in, you know, guarding their best player, Davis, holding them, I think, 4-for-20 from field goal. So, I mean, it's just great having a lot of guys who really care about it and who are going to give max effort every single play.
You guys are in the SEC. Obviously, tough competition, a bunch of schools that got into the tournament. How does playing in that conference prepare you for what you get on this stage?
Yeah, I mean, we play in a physical conference, so just being able to battle with bigs, and I think our non-conference has a lot to do with it as well, you know, scheduling against some of the best bigs, whether that was ED or Arizona bigs or Clemson. We already played them once. So, I mean, I think that that has a huge part to do with it. And then, you know, just learning from the mistakes we made and altering the scouting report. And hopefully we make some changes, you know, do some new things going into this Clemson game.
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch. First number one seed that goes down in the tournament, courtesy of Alabama. In terms of the emotions now, how do you turn around and get ready for another game in 48 hours?
We just got to celebrate this one for a little bit, you know, try to get our legs back under us, treatment. And, I mean, ultimately, we didn't come here to make the Elite Eight. So, I mean, we're gonna lock into the scouting report, go try to get a couple more wins.
Grant, you think your mustache is going to become a thing, maybe a meme, go viral?
I don't know. I feel like some people might have a little fetish with my mustache. But I don't know.
Well, congratulations. Second Elite Eight in your school history and now one step away from that Final Four. I know you've got stuff to do. You need some rest, too. But we appreciate a couple of minutes, Grant. Thank you and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Fun to talk to Grant Nelson. And if you don't believe me about the mustache, just look it up. Search for Grant Nelson mustache on social media and see what pops up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to catch up with Grant. He was much calmer than they were in the locker room when Nate Oates was given a dig toward the Tar Heels saying, guess who doesn't have practice tomorrow? Those guys on Chapel Hill. So Alabama trying to earn its first spot in the Final Four in school history. Clemson, the same thing. That is certainly not the case for the other number one seed who was in action last night. This game taking place in Boston where the Huskies, well, okay, they let San Diego State hang around for a little while, I guess.
Hands the ball off to Spencer. Spencer, bounce pass to a cutting. Castle, who gets it to Klingon, who jams it home. Oh, the ball movement. Zig, zag. They dumped it down, 66-45, UConn. Pearls, free throw line, right side of the paint, off the glass, fouled, count the bucket, 68-45. UConn continues to build this Sweet 16 lead with 5:35 to play in the second half. Newton up top for three, it's good. He was left open, 71-45. Under five to play, he's got 17. And we keep on saying it. It's the largest lead of the night for the Huskies.
The call with Tom McCarthy on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. It did sound like a home court, similar to what we got at MSG when Big East tournament was taking place and the Huskies were there in the championship. So Dan Hurley, right about that. And even though they allowed the Aztecs to kind of buzz around there late, the first half, they went through a stretch where they couldn't hit shots. UConn couldn't hit any shots. So it took them a while to settle into a rhythm. But one incredible advantage they had, and they used it all game long, rebounding. 50-29 on the boards. Now, it does stand to reason, you know, when you're seeing the Aztecs miss shots, that you're going to have extra rebounds. But really, almost half of their rebounds came from the offensive end of the court. And it's demoralizing when you're a defense like San Diego State and you prevent the opponent from scoring, especially when it's UConn. I mean, that's a victory in and of itself against the number one team and rematch of last year's national championship. So you prevent them from hitting a shot and then you give up not one, but two, three, four offensive rebounds. There were a couple of possessions in which UConn had 4 and 5 shots at the hoop. 21 offensive boards, huge for this team. And so that just allows them in the end to get way more opportunities than is necessary. UConn wins by 30. So now here we are comparing it to last season's run when the Huskies were, I wouldn't say an unknown, but they were a prize winner, the way that they just got into the tournament and ran the table, beating opponents by an average of almost 20 points. Well, here they are, halfway to repeating, first defending champ to get back to the Elite Eight since the Florida Gators, who repeated in 06-07. And now they're beating teams by an average of nearly 30 points per game. No joke, 29 points is their average margin of victory.
We suck at winning close games, so... You know, you got to go with the alternative. I think the group, we got a killer instinct. We play every possession with great desperation. We got NBA level players that are incredibly well prepared, by Luke Murray and Kamani Young, who two of the best coaches in the country, assistant, head coach, just two of the best that do it. We're very comfortable in tournament play. We're hard to prepare for.
Everybody's very hungry. You know, obviously the team had great success last year, but, you know, it's a different group. And, you know, a lot of those returners came back wanting to, you know, go do it again and help the new guys experience, you know, a national championship. So, I think that's just a part of the UConn culture. And, you know, I'm happy to be at UConn and happy to be a part of it.
That's the senior Kim Spencer at 18 points. And let's see, had a handful of assists and rebounds and steals. He was great. But, yeah, the offensive rebounding, sexy. I'm a big fan. And it takes a different form in other sports. But how about offensive rebounds in hockey, too, where you get the quick put back? Those are always special. So it's a stat that can really change. I say stat. It's an effort by a team to crash the glass. It's determination. It's focus. It's obviously boxing out if you do it right. I mean, it generally needs to be a team effort, too, when you're talking about the offensive end and not giving up on a play. And it's just that killer instinct that Kim Spencer mentioned, because it can be so frustrating for the other team when they've played what they feel like is a full defensive possession and then, boom, give up another chance. So the Huskies using their defensive rebounding, which is what Alex Caravan told us last weekend was their identity. Yeah, we can score, but we are a defense and rebound team first. And that's how we control games, which is clearly what we saw with UConn. So the Connecticut Huskies now in Boston on Saturday will take on the Fighting Illini. They led from wire to wire against the 2-seed Iowa State. This game would never have been close had the Illini not missed 14 free throws. So it's way closer than it needed to be in the end.
When you face the number one defense, you know they're not number one because they're soft or lack effort. I felt really good at half. We missed 102 free throws, I think, and some wide open shots, and we were up 10. So I thought our defense was really, really good. But I also knew they would come out and punch and or counterpunch, and they did that.
102 free throws. That would be unwatchable. No one would enjoy that. Let's just never do that. Let's agree. Just a gentleman's ladies agreement. We will never have a game with 102 missed free throws.
I feel like we might get a game with 102 missed threes soon, though.
Oh, well, that's probably already happened in the NBA.
Right.
All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, congratulations to the Fighting Illini. They reached the Elite Eight for the first time in nearly 20 years, right? So you've got a bunch of fresh blood who advanced other than UConn on Thursday night. Now, coming up on Friday, four more games, so two other regional semifinals, and then the women get underway as well. And Dawn Staley, who's been a great advocate for women's basketball, not only as a player going back to her days, did she play at Stanford? I think she played at Stanford. But then also her time at USA Basketball and in the pro ranks, and now as one of the premier coaches in women's basketball. I mean, you may remember that last year she helped to lead this team to the Final Four, and they were upset by Iowa. So Caitlin Clark's Iowa team, and that's kind of really when the nation caught the Iowa fever. But they had run the table to that point. Now, this team is not the same. They lost a bunch of seniors. They lost veterans. And yet here they are sitting in that same spot, undefeated, trying to get back to the Final Four and win another championship. And it would be their third in this recent iteration of South Carolina women's basketball. But she's thrilled with the attention that the sport is getting. By the way, speaking of attention, did anyone happen to notice that Andy Reid threw out the first pitch for the Kansas City Royals on Thursday? I mean, do we have any type of reaction to that? Andy himself, it was amazing. He was wearing his blue Royals jersey. He's out there on the mound. The fans are going crazy. I've seen it a couple times now, and it makes me smile every time.
I just know that Mahomes tweeted out, does anyone know if Coach Reid threw a strike? Which he did.
He did. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning. Happy Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
my mom's obviously, she's kind of changed her whole life just to be there for me. She's lived in Toronto her whole life. As soon as I got to Purdue, she got an Airbnb and stayed out there with me. Every season she's done that. And it's been great for me, kind of just have someone in the stands who I know and who I recognize. And like, I'm not, this isn't even the country I'm from. Like, I'm not, like, obviously Purdue is like a family to me, but my real family is like, it's my mom, my dad, and my brother. And just have my mom there for me. Like every day, like every game, good or bad. How I was playing as a freshman, how I'm playing now, like she's there supporting me the same way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Every family has its own unique story of dedication when it comes to athletes who break through and get to play at this highest level, and even some who don't, but the sacrifices made by many parents, many families, in order to support their kids, their young men and their young women as they pursue their dreams. And in the case of Zach Edey, you can imagine how much it means to him to have his mom there, since he's from Toronto, but she is able to be in Lafayette and to be part of what he's doing. And now, especially as he's a senior and the Boilermakers, having come up woefully short a year ago, losing to a 16 seed, are now trying to find that same redemption as, say, Virginia in 2019. So Purdue gets underway against Gonzaga. This is a big one because Mark Few's Gonzaga Bulldogs, they've come so close and have never won that national championship. Now their ninth consecutive Sweet 16, which is the longest active streak in men's basketball. So that's a premier game that takes place tonight on... Now, it says TBS and True TV, so I suppose it's airing on both. But TBS had the games last night, a couple of the games last night. So that's the second game to tip off. Before that, it's NC State, the Wolfpack, on this incredible run right there. I mean, they're sitting in the catbird seat where there's no pressure. All the pressure is going to be on their opponents in every game now. And so this time, it's number two Marquette, but NC State... one of the hottest teams as well, because they rattled off those 5 wins in 5 days to capture the automatic bid from the ACC. They're battle-tested with wins over top 25 teams. And now, of course, having won two to get to the Sweet 16, it's pretty incredible. So there are some great stories, even if it feels a lot more chalky. Houston and Duke, that one would tip in Dallas theoretically around 9:40, 9:45 Eastern, so 9:45 Duke time, an hour earlier Central time. And, of course, the Cougars had the scare against Texas A&M, needing overtime to get back to the Sweet 16, and that's followed by Creighton and Tennessee, so a 3 and a 2. So your Big East and SEC clash with Dalton Connect of the Tennessee Volunteers. If you haven't seen him play, he's awesome. So Detroit and Dallas in the spotlight tonight for men's college basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll see whether or not the 2-1 seeds from Friday survive, because we had the UNC upset, though still three of them there, and UConn looks real good. On the women's side, you could say that South Carolina has been as dominant as UConn has in getting to this point. And so tonight in the women's Sweet 16, they're tipping off in Albany and Portland. So a little bit different. They've got only two actual sites, even though it's four regions. They call them, instead of East, West, Midwest, South, they're calling them Albany 1, Albany 2, Portland 1, Portland 2. And there has been some pushback in women's college basketball about this. Why are you limiting us to two sites? Why not use the four sites, the four different regions like the men do? And the argument, and this is the same argument that you'll get when the question is asked of why are women playing games on their own courts in the first two rounds of the tournament, right? Why not go to neutral sites? It maybe levels the playing court a little bit. Well, the reason is because the NCAA has chosen they'd rather have raucous, sold-out crowds, loud crowds. They'd rather have a home court advantage that plays well on TV and that, you know, is ticket sales out the wazoo, as Iowa had standing room only for their games last weekend, than to have a larger arena that's half full and maybe isn't as enthusiastic or as electric. And so these are the choices of the NCAA. But some people have pushed back on this idea that you only have two regionals even though you've got four, you have two regional sites, even though you've got four regionals, if that makes sense. So it's something that the NCAA is trying out in women's basketball. And yeah, there's been some resistance to it. However, the general manager of the arena in Albany had said publicly, this will be the most people that we've ever had for an event. This will be one of the best events we've ever hosted here at the arena, and we're expecting incredible crowds. So then Dawn Staley, head coach of South Carolina, is asked about this growth in the popularity of women's basketball, and she references the comment by this GM.
It's been intentional to hold women's basketball back. It's no longer intentional anymore because they see we're bursting at the seams. And for the general manager to say that, you know, he's going to ride this wave as long as it's high. It's high right now. And we just want to be a sport. We just want to be treated as a sport. We just want an opportunity to be seen. And I do feel like there has been, it's been very intentional to put us on TV, like, our sport on TV and everywhere. Like, I've watched so many basketball games this season. I had access to so many games, so many Pac-12 games, Big Ten games, SEC games. Like, you really had a choice to make.
So Dawn Staley, in that comment as a preview of South Carolina's next game, really echoes what Iowa's Lisa Bluder said here on After Hours last Sunday. And also, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, two weeks ago. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Selection Sunday was mid-March. So we had Lisa Bluder on the show on Selection Sunday. And then later in that week, we also had USC head coach Lindsey Gottlieb, who's from, you know, head coach in the NBA, and spent some time with the Cavaliers. And so she kind of brings that mentality to the Trojans. Both of them said to me, similar to what Dawn Staley just said, we need more games on TV. You put the games on TV and people will watch them. It's about giving our sport more attention, giving our sport more of a platform. And then once people realize how much fun it is, how competitive, how great the athletes and some of the schools that are competing for championships, well, then of course they're going to fall in love with the sport. And you may say it's just Caitlin Clark. And there certainly is an increase and a spike in popularity because of Caitlin and the Iowa Hawkeyes and everything that she's done. I mean, think about the game against West Virginia drew nearly 4.9 million viewers last week on a Monday. But it's the rest of the sport that's seeing an increase and a spike in viewership and interest and popularity. So these are the numbers. Last year's first two rounds on TV, women's basketball tournament, increasing from last year to this year, 108%. And they've doubled in terms of ratings and viewership. And it's not just Iowa, it's other schools as well. So enjoy your men's college basketball, enjoy your women's college basketball, baseball opening weekend, and of course, have a great Easter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.